Good evening, Patriots. This is Praying Medic, and this is my QAnon broadcast for Wednesday, December 18th. Those of you following along at home, you can find Q's posts on a number of different websites, including qmap.pub, QAnon News. It's qanon.news/Q to get the posts. If you just go to qanon.news, there's all kinds of information there. I like going there to get the posts, though. If you have an Android device and you'd like to get Q posts on your Android phone, Q Map, Q Alerts are two Android devices. I believe Q Drops is also still available. My theme for this broadcast is Watch What Happens Next. Hat tip to Epoch Times for their coverage of Spygate and the very cool Spygate graphic that I stole this image from and repurposed it. All right. This is from December 16th. Judge Sullivan denied Sidney Powell's motion for Brady material in General Flynn's case. The response is rather long. It's 99 pages. I read through a lot of it. The judge basically said the material that was requested had no bearing on Flynn's admission to making materially false statements. So the order for Brady material was denied. Let's see. Q then posted in response to that announcement, is the same evidence to free Flynn currently being used to indict others? In brackets, we have GJ. That usually stands for grand jury. So Q is suggesting that there is grand jury material that cannot be released to Sidney Powell to help General Flynn's case. However, there's a lot of information that Q has dropped lately that suggests that the people who went after General Flynn may be the first ones indicted. And we'll explain that as we move along in this broadcast. So the next line that Q posted is 302 is in brackets, underscore mod, brackets one count. All right, so 302 is not a small block Ford engine for your Mustang. Well, it is, but in Q's vernacular, 302 is an FBI 302. There's a report that the FBI fills out when they interrogate someone, you know, a witness or a suspect. All right, we know that General Flynn's 302 was modified. He was interviewed by Peter Strzok and Joe Pientka. And one of the big issues that's going on now is, first, there was some confusion as to who actually did the interview and who wrote the notes. It looks like the FBI actually misidentified Pientka and Strzok and had their roles switched. So Flynn's 302 was modified illegally. And Q is suggesting that that is going to be a one-count indictment. Who listened in brackets, two-count FISA? So once they got the FISA warrant to spy on General Flynn, they listened in to his calls. They listened in having obtained a FISA illegally. Therefore, we have two counts, a two-count indictment, I believe, coming up, which is what Q is indicating. The next line is a long series of ellipses. Something is missing, and then Q writes in brackets six counts. So what Q, I think, is suggesting here is there is their grand jury material has been presented. It's been presented to a grand jury. Grand jury has already returned indictments. It's nine counts total. One of which is for modifying the 302, two counts for listening illegally, and six counts for other things that we don't know about yet. So Q then writes, continuing, FBI agent in brackets, one, brackets, P, Flynn interview. I think P probably stands for Joe Pientka, FBI agent one. Normally Peter Strzok is indicated as PS, so I think this is Pientka. If FISA warrant was illegally obtained, if FISA warrant was predicated on illegal, uncorroborated information, if the FISA actors purposefully withheld exculpatory evidence from the court, watch what happens next. I think we're going to see some indictments. I think these are going to be the first indictments to come from Spygate, actually. But we'll see. All right. This is just my explanation of all that. And as well as that, we also could see an indictment against James Baker. This is not the James Baker who was a former FBI chief counsel. This is another James Baker. He works in the Pentagon Office of Net Assessment, where Adam Lovinger worked and Stefan Halper worked. And Baker is suspected of being the guy who illegally leaked General Flynn's phone call to Ambassador Kislyak to the media. So he could also be indicted. A lot of people that have exposure here. All right, let's move along. We already covered that. All right, Q then posted this. It's a screenshot of a text from Lisa Page, September 2nd, 2016. POTUS wants to know everything we're doing. People in the FBI, Page, Strzok, had kind of repeatedly affirmed that Barack Obama was actually the one running the show. Q posted that screenshot and said, never forget who directed Q. All right, and Anon posted this on the board. It's a screenshot from an article. Mark Meadows says Bill Barr was looking at unbelievably unusual activity during Obama's final months in office. There were a lot of very unusual things happening in the Obama White House in his last months in office. Q responded to that, logical thinking. And then there's a repost here of an old drop from April of this year. Why would a president of the United States, Hussein, assign renegade as his Secret Service code name? Define renegade. It is a noun, a person who deserts and betrays an organization, country, or set of principles. Synonyms, traitor, defector, deserter, turncoat, betrayer. All right, so why would Obama have the Secret Service code name renegade? Because it fits his personality. Q then posted this, it's a meme. Haven't you figured it out yet? It's not about Trump's corruption. It's about making sure you don't find about the corruption of the politicians. That is what it's about. And this whole impeachment hoax, and they're going to be voting on impeachment in the House tonight, is really primarily about trying to keep the public from seeing the exposure of politicians. And thank God we have Donald Trump, who is draining the swamp. Right. Q posted a link to a GCHQ webpage that has information about their current director, Jeremy Fleming, who took over as director of GCHQ after Robert Hannigan, who's a previous director, retired 3 days after Donald Trump was inaugurated. Hannigan had face-to-face meetings with John Brennan during Spygate operation. That was seen as a bit unusual because GCHQ is the is analogous to the NSA here in America. And it would be unusual for the CIA director to be meeting with Britain's director of their, what would be equivalent to their NSA. But I'm guessing that Hannigan and Brennan had a lot going on involved in Spygate, and that's why Hannigan probably resigned after Trump was inaugurated, because he knew that they had failed. So Q posted a link to that webpage with the profile of Jeremy Fleming and said, name worth remembering. I'm guessing that Fleming is working with Attorney General Barr to uncover the criminal activity surrounding Spygate. If he's not working with Barr, he is certainly in a difficult position, since Barr's and Durham's investigations focus heavily on the coordination that was going on in the UK. All right, name to remember. Let's see. In August of last year, Q asked why President Trump was pushing so hard on the FBI and Department of Justice not to drop the Awan case. Q also suggested that Imran Awan did not hack congressional computers, but that access was granted by Democrat House members. There's actually more than 40 people who hired Imran Awan. So Q asked, was access also granted to Hillary's server? How might the investigation of all these servers open up other sort of a Pandora's box of all the servers? Q has also suggested that Obama probably had a and unsecured server, and there are other ones. And I think the White House, FBI, DOJ have been keeping a lid on this because they don't want this to be made public. Essentially selling information to foreign countries to the highest bidder. Let's see. So Luke Roziak and Judicial Watch have been trying to get information on the Awan case to no avail. Now, a lot of people think that the Imran Awan case was settled when he pled guilty to, I think, a money laundering, a low-level money laundering charge. And everyone was angry and upset because they thought that was going to be the end of the end of the case. However, this is an article. It says, as the scandal reopened, court papers on Democrat IT aide Imran Awan show that there are actually a lot of documents that are sealed in this case. Now, and Anon posted this. It's pulled quotes from the article. The Department of Justice said this month it could not release records on Democrat technology aide Imran Awan due to technical difficulties, but later admitted in court documents it could not release the records on him because there is a secret ongoing case related to the matter. And then there's another quote, could not release records on him because there is a secret ongoing case related to the matter. And then there's another quote, secret ongoing case related to the matter. Right. So I actually retweeted Luke Roziak about 3 or 4 days ago before this happened, where he was grumbling and complaining because he and Tom Fitton have not been able to get any traction on this Imran Awan case. And I retweeted him and I said, look, this case involves matters of national security. Can matters of national security that are classified be released to the public? Think about it. I can't. I don't know if these guys are following Q at all, but Q has been telling us for a long time that Imran Awan's case is highly classified, national security. They're not going to release anything relating to this case, not yet. They will eventually. And I think you're going to see a lot of people in Congress indicted for essentially allowing access to Awan to give information to Pakistani intelligence from our Congress. So Q reposted a link to the Daily Wire drop and also an old post from July of 2019. The swamp runs deep. DNC servers hold many answers. Scaramucci model. Director of National Intelligence, NSA. Awan in brackets. Debbie Wasserman Schultz in brackets. And Dems in Congress in brackets. House of Cards. You didn't think the plea deal was the end, did you? Well, I sure as heck didn't. All right, sit tight. Looks like Twitter messed up my thread. I hate it when they do that. All right, so let me find my thread and go backwards. All right. Twitter does not like me. I get messages of people all the time on Twitter saying they can't find my tweets, they can't find my threads. Twitter's hiding everything I do. They're breaking my threads up. They really do not want this information getting out. All right, we are almost there. Oh, here we go. Okay, so moving along. Q posted this, and this is on the 16th. The story, exclusive interview with Attorney General William Barr, that is tonight at 7 p.m. That is going to be in a couple of hours. Be sure to watch that if you can. You might be able to find it live streamed on YouTube. Although live streams on YouTube often get taken down shortly after they start. So, Q is suggesting something relevant or interesting is going to be coming on that interview with Martha McCallum. So be sure to check it out if you have the, if you're able to. All right. Paul Sperry got cued and he posted this, rewind, January 29th, 2018. FBI Director Robert Wray, should be Chris Wray, issued a statement rebutting the Nunes memo on FISA abuses and warning Trump not to declassify or release it, citing grave concerns with inaccuracies and omissions in the memo. Now we know Wray too was lying. Well, we now know that Devin Nunes had a very accurate explanation of what was happening with Spygate in his memo. and just about everything in it has been verified. So if Chris Ray at the time was saying that it was full of inaccuracies and omissions, he was wrong. So there's an article on that, and then Q posted a link to Sperry's tweet and said the swamp runs deep, sleepers everywhere, sleepers plural, think coats, wheels in motion, Q. All right. We used to say trust Sessions, trust Ray, trust Pompeo, right? Well, Jeff Sessions is no longer Attorney General. Chris Ray initially was showing signs of being someone that we could trust. However, lately Q has been signaling that Ray probably cannot be trusted. In July, after we learned that Dan Coats was a sleeper who seemed to be working with the president but was later found out to be sympathetic to the deep state, and Anon said, he was talking about sleepers, Q was said that Dan Coats was a sleeper. And Anon said, Chris Ray is a sleeper. And Q responded, future marker. So I think that was the first hint we got that Chris Ray actually could not be trusted. And it's caused a lot of confusion. But I'll just say this. If you've ever had a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or if you ever got married, and you find out later that the person was not who you thought they were, you're experiencing a little bit of what Trump is experiencing when he interviews people for jobs. Some people seem on the surface to be cool, they're great, patriotic, everything's groovy, they're going to take care of things. And then you get, you know, 6 months, a year into the relationship and find out this person lied to you. They're not who they portrayed themselves to be. Well, that happens in hiring as well as relationships. And my take on this is that they initially thought they could trust Ray, and now he's showing signs and evidence is coming to light that Ray probably can't be trusted. And if you disagree with me, that's fine, not a problem. I was a strong defender of Ray for a long time, but as soon as Q gave us information contrary, I changed my mind. The danger, and I talk about this quite a bit with friends, and you know, for what it's worth, I do not like putting black hats and white hats on people that we don't know. Everyone, you know, seems to want to know, well, what about Rosenstein? What about Mueller? What about Ray? Are they white hats, black hats? Are they good people? Are they bad people? Can we trust them? I don't like approaching the intelligence community that way because people can deceive you about their intentions. They can sound like they're patriotic. They can sound and look like they're fine. And they can be absolutely corrupt. Once you place your trust in someone, it can blind you to new information about them. So I try not to put black hats and white hats on people. I try to look at people and evaluate them continually, look at information that comes out, look at new evidence, and make my evaluations of them based on information, not on whether I, you know, a year ago decided this person was a good person or a bad person, a black hat or a white hat. I just don't think that is a good way to evaluate the terrain and people. Okay, moving along. Q posted this on the 17th. The Senate must be unrestricted to conduct other important business. If Dems knew the Senate would not vote to convict on impeachment, why proceed? How long does a typical Senate impeachment trial take? Can the Senate conduct other business during this time? No. What value might this have for Dems, in brackets, Barr and Durham working in secret, Senate working openly? The value of public learning the truth prior to I_unseal. Propaganda push is failing. Transparency, accountability is the only way forward to save the Republic. This is not another four-year election. Game theory, Q. All right. So I had not thought of this, but Q is suggesting that in addition to all the other subterfuge and fake reasons why Democrats are going forward with impeachment, one of the reasons they want to go forward with impeachment is to tie up the Senate, because Lindsey Graham and Chuck Grassley and Johnson and in Homeland Security all have important hearings they need to conduct, to interview people involved in these corrupt investigations at the FBI. And if they force the Senate to go through an impeachment trial, they tie up all the Senate committees and they can't do these hearings. And the hearings are necessary so that the public learns what has been going on. So if you don't want the public to know what's going on, and that is very important for corrupt people, they get away with corruption because the public is in the dark. If you don't want the public to know, one strategy you can use is to tie up the Senate so they can't have these hearings. So I saw that Senate Homeland Security had another hearing with Horowitz this morning. It was under the chair of Ron Johnson. Actually, some good information came out of that hearing. We listened to it. All right. So what is the value of the public learning the truth prior to unsealing indictments? Well, Q has been telling us for a long time, prior to arrests, prior to indictments being unsealed, the public has to be made aware of the corruption. And I know a lot of people think that everyone's aware of it, but people are not aware of it. There is still a large cross-section of the population that is absolutely ignorant about corruption. So the congressional hearings have to be held, and the public needs to be made more aware of corruption before indictments are unsealed and before arrests happen. Okay, and by the way, it looks like that tactic has failed Mitch McConnell in a televised address from the Senate floor yesterday morning, said that their plan is to dismiss the impeachment after they hear opening arguments. It does not look that they're going to go through a long Senate trial. It should be fairly short, and they'll just go on with the business they have to go on with. By the way, Mitch McConnell is blazing through Trump's appointments for federal judges. I saw that on Monday, he invoked cloture on 13 federal judges, and just now today they invoked cloture on 10 more federal judges. So that will put, 23 federal judges up for vote, and they're voting on some of them right now. So we're going to get a lot more federal judges. Lindsey Graham, for what it's worth, said that he is also in favor of a short trial, not necessarily dismissal, but a short trial. So I don't think we're going to have a long, extended go in the Senate. All right, Q posted this. Have Anons identified the error made regarding Corney versus Comey? Think recent doc release, Q. And this is a repost of an old drop. Special counsel is authorized to conduct the investigation, confined by then, and it's weird because it's confined, by then FBI Director James H. Corney in testimony before the House Permanent Select Committee. This is a taken from Rod Rosenstein's letter to the DOJ authorizing the appointment of Robert Mueller as a special counsel. And James H. Corney actually shows up in that document. So Anon responded to Q. Corney is found 480 times in the Inspector General report. Comey is found zero times. There's a link to it, the document. And Lizzie Bell Fox got cued. She pointed out, who would have altered the Horowitz report to make the RN in Corney look like the M in Comey? And other instances of R and N have a natural gap. The RN looks very close to the letter M, but it's completely different. As a kerning, only in the name Comey and Corney has the kerning to reduce it to look like the M. So kerning is something that you do in graphic design or typesetting. You move letters closer or together or farther apart. And if you move an R and an N very close together, it looks like the letter M. Well, it looks like that's how they actually got these documents to make the name Comey look like Comey, but it's actually Corney. So, crazy stuff. Q posted a link to Bell Fox's status. Remember, misspellings matter. In parentheses, Durham, 5-3, 1-99, Q. I do not know what the reference to Durham 5-3, 1-99 means. I think we'll find out about that in the future. All right. Enoch, one of our friends on Twitter, posted a group graphic. It was put together by a bunch of anons showing the Corney and Comey and Korn references. Devin Nunes, Korn ready for it to be cut. Comey standing out in the cornfield. Q asking, was a corn ready for harvesting? It is now. You got the Corny search in the IG report and all these other references. Okay. So, all right. Anon posted this. James 8, Corny shows up in a search of the Department of Justice website. That's actually because in, like I said, I just explained this. In the letter that Rosenstein signed authorizing Robert Mueller to be special counsel, the reference in here to Director James B. Comey, if you copy and paste that out of the document into another document, it's actually James 8 Corny. So, all kinds of shenanigans going on. Q responded to that. Corn in brackets, harvest, 5x5, Q. Message received. It is definitely harvest time. All right. And Anon posted a screenshot of the storm and its previous Q post and said the storm's sequence of events, Horowitz IG report, Comey report, declassified FISA indictments. So, like I said, public first has to be made aware of corruption through the Inspector General reports, through declassification of documents, and through congressional hearings, and then indictments will be unsealed. Q responded, worth remembering. All right, one of the Anons posted a link to a Jerusalem Post tweet, which had a news article, that it announced that Pope Francis had accepted the resignation of Archbishop Luigi Ventura, the Vatican's ambassador to France, who has been accused of sexual molestation. Q responded to that, dark to light, those you are taught to trust the most, Q. All right, and Anon, this is the Mary Q mess holiday display above a restaurant. And Anon showed up there, took a selfie, and said hello yesterday, Q. Q responded, worldwide, though nothing should ever replace Christ and Christmas. Merry Christmas, Anons and Patriots. God is on our side, Q. And I would agree with Q. Jesus is the reason for the season. Okay. Q posted this, National Presidential Alert System, two in brackets. Why was this created and tested? Political warfare, information warfare, Q. Donald Trump developed and tested the presidential alert system to communicate with citizens in the event that the media essentially black out information helpful for citizens and or the possibility that the internet is taken down. And I'm just going to throw this out there. As we get closer to the arrest of corrupt people, I think the chance is getting greater that we will suffer some kind of an internet outage or a media blackout. So that's why the presidential alert system was developed and tested. Q posted a link to an article and said, welcome to the D Party Con. And it has to do with the legitimate cause for impeachment. In 1988, a Democrat-controlled House of Representatives took up the case of, this was Alcee Hastings. He was convicted in the Senate for bribery and perjury, and that is the actual intended purpose for impeachment. It is for elected officials or judges who commit crimes like bribery, perjury, treason, high crimes and misdemeanors. And of course, the president is being impeached by the House, and they have not listed any specific crimes in the articles of impeachment. That's because the president hasn't committed any crimes. Welcome to the D Party Con. All right, this next one regards a court order from the FISA court signed by Judge Rosemary Collyer, who scolded the FBI for falsifying information that it gave to the Department of Justice National Security Division and then to the court on the Carter Page FISA application. All right. Q posted a link to that and wrote discovery Q. So I think we're gonna find out a lot more about FISA Corp. There are a lot of people in the Senate and House who are seriously questioning whether FISA Court should be done away with, because it does not give defendants rights. It was initially set up to provide surveillance opportunities for foreigners who are perceived to be threats to the United States, usually terrorists. But now that it's being weaponized against American citizens, there is reason to believe that it needs to be revamped, possibly just done away with. And there are people who have proposed alternative ways to get those warrants. All right, so the order from the FISA court instructs the FBI to submit a sworn statement. I think that is by no later than December 20th. Complete a declassification review. I think they have until January 10th to inform the court in a written submission what they do, what they've done, and what they plan to do to ensure a statement of facts is completely reflects information that the FBI has. Chris Wray has already outlined, I think, 40 different changes that he has implemented regarding FISA. And this is not a new issue. This has been a problem for a long time. It goes back almost 20 years, where FISA court has been abused repeatedly. Admiral Rogers exposed a lot of misuse and abuse of the FISA surveillance system, and we're getting to a point now where something has to be done about it. So Q posted a quote from Judge Collier's letter: the frequency with which representations made by FBI personnel turned out to be unsupported or contradicted by information in their possession and with which they withheld information detrimental to the case calls into question whether information contained in or other FBI applications is reliable. Q then wrote, think Flynn FISA. Illegal, Q. So, if the FBI has been found to have falsified information to obtain FISA warrants, we know this has been a problem for a long time. In Admiral Rogers' review of FISA court several years ago, he found an 85% non-compliance rate with the rules that they're supposed to be using. So one of the concerns that was actually brought up in the hearing this morning in Senate Homeland Security with Horowitz is the possibility that attorneys who have had cases where their defendants had FISA warrants issued to surveil them could now come back to the court and say, well, since the FBI is known to be corrupt and since they've been abusing this FISA system for a long time, we want to have our case reheard or thrown out because we believe that the FBI falsified information to get our FISA request. It's a huge hornet's nest. And General Flynn, I believe, is eventually going to be exonerated because of the way the FBI obtained his FISA surveillance warrant. All right, let's see. I just threw this in here. Although the president can and does use FISA to keep tabs on bad actors, and Q has in the past suggested that the president is using legal FISA surveillance on a lot of people in the deep state and people in Congress who are known to be playing footsie with foreign governments. Q suggested that rather than use FISA because Q wrote, do we trust the FISA judges, military intel, state secrets? Why is this relevant? Who can we trust? Expand your thinking. Trump really trusts the military, and the military uses a different process for intelligence. It has strategic advantages. I think a lot of people are under surveillance using military intelligence, which is why Trump is able to keep 10 steps ahead of all these people. Okay, moving along, this next post from Q is a response to Lisa Page and a tweet that she put out. She's going on the Rachel Maddow show. It's time to talk about the release of my text messages and 2 years of lies shouted across the media about me and what it's like when the President of the United States tries to ruin your life. Okay. All the people now who are Spygate plotters attempting to overthrow the government are portraying themselves as victims. Q posted a link to her tweet. Propaganda? GoFundMe next. WikiHow, how to prepare for jail. Yes, a lot of these people need to learn how to prepare for jail. By the way, Andrew McCabe's GoFundMe raised $500,000 before being shut down. Because you play yourself the victim, and then you make a lot of money off it. Off of gullible people. Q, this was, let's see, on the 17th, posted this, the first indictment, unseal in brackets, will trigger mass population awakening. The first arrest will verify action and confirm future direction. They will fight, but you are ready. Marker 9 in brackets. Q. Marker 9 in brackets. Unseal in brackets. 9 in brackets. I think we're talking about unsealing indictments. And well, Q said first indictment, unseal. So context of this marker 9, I think Q is referring to that post from the previous day where Q explained that there was grand jury already impaneled, had probably already returned indictments, and we've got 9 counts. We have 6 counts that are unknown, 2 counts for listening, and 1 count for modifying the 302. I think this is going to be a future proves past. I think we're going to see a 9-count indictment from the DOJ on whoever was spying on General Flynn. Just my theory. We'll see how that turns out. All right. This tweet by The Hill was queued this morning. Just in, fourth Pentagon official announces resignation within a week. The linked article explains that Principal Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, Kerry Bingen, will leave the DOD in January. Q posted a link to that and posted a meme, house cleaning, no mess, no stress. Durham discoveries can lead to early retirement. Think FBI departures, think DOJ departures. Q. A lot of people have left the FBI Department of Justice shortly after the president took over. Most of the brass in the FBI who was there when president was elected, they're gone. The few that are still there, like Bruce Orr, everyone's complaining, oh, is Bruce Orr still working at the Department of Justice? Yes, he is still working at the Department of Justice. There's a good reason for that. Bruce Orr is a cooperating witness. He is giving information and testimony. And as long as somebody is still with the agency, you can force them to comply with the investigation. As soon as they leave the agency, they can tell you to pound sand. So when you are investigating people who are involved in corruption, if you get somebody to flip and you turn them into a cooperating witness, you don't want to fire them. You want to keep them on with the department so you can get information from them. That's why some people are still working for these departments and the agencies, is because they're cooperating witnesses. And everyone who's been fired, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, let's see, Bill Priestap, James Baker, all of them were cooperating witnesses. All of them are gone from the department now, but they all gave testimony and they all stayed in the department until their part of the cooperation was done, and then they were let go. So that's kind of how the process works. All right, on December 21st, 2017, the president signed an executive order authorizing the Treasury Department to freeze the assets of people and organizations found to be involved in human rights abuse, human trafficking, or corruption. December 21st, 2017. Q posted about that. And interestingly enough, the same day, Eric Schmidt resigned from his position as CEO of Google's parent company, Alphabet. Q posted, Eric Schmidt, Google, resigned today post executive order. Coincidence? Q. Well, corruption isn't just a problem in government. It is pervasive in the corporate world. It is in the church. It is in academia. It is in the media. It is in Hollywood. Corruption has pervaded every part of society, and Trump is exposing it, and it's going to be prosecuted. So, Eric Schmidt was the first CEO to step down after that executive order was signed. Q said, on December 21st, track CEO resignations. So we've been tracking resignations for 2 years almost, and we're coming up on the anniversary of that. I posted a link to an article on Twitter a couple weeks ago. This was early in December, and it was an article from MSNBC. MSNBC? CNBC. And they reported that the month of October of 2019 set a record for the number of CEO resignations. They're just continuing. Actually, November looks like it has, I think there were 2 months in a row that set records. I think October set a record, and I think November set another record. So CEOs and high-level executives are resigning like crazy. Now, Stephen Walker, the head of the of DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is stepping down from his position. This article came out yesterday. Ed O'Callaghan, who formerly served as Rod Rosenstein's principal deputy, is also leaving his position with Department of Justice. That is interesting to me because Lindsey Graham announced that he plans to have Rosenstein testify about FISA abuse. So Ed O'Callaghan's out. Now Q posted a screenshot of the Ed O'Callaghan announcement from DOJ and a link to the DARPA announcement that their CEO is stepping down. Q wrote, still tracking resignations, DARPA, FB, Q, DARPA in brackets, FB in brackets. So DARPA and FB, if you are new to Q, you may not know about this, but the Pentagon, DARPA, developed a program called LifeLog that was designed to do essentially what Facebook currently does right now, tracks people's life activities, contacts, all that information. On February 4th of 2004, DARPA shut down their LifeLog project. On the same day, Facebook was launched, February 4th, 2004. It's actually an article on Wired Magazine that talks about Pentagon shutting down LifeLog. So, all right, we're getting just about done. House leaders have scheduled the impeachment vote tonight to be held between 6:30 and 7:30. After what they're roughly estimating will be 6 hours of debate. So the impeachment vote will be happening at 7 o'clock tonight, which happens to be when Attorney General Barr's interview is airing. Q wrote this, timing of the impeachment vote revised, 7 p.m. Eastern. Interview with Bill Barr, 7 p.m. Eastern. Coincidence? Q. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think they rescheduled the impeachment vote to draw eyes away from Bill Barr's interview because they don't want people watching it. This is a last post by Q. It's a long one. I chopped it up into six sections so that people could read it on Twitter. This is a repost. What happens when 90% of the media is controlled or owned by six corporations? What happens when those same corporations are operated and controlled by a political ideology? What happens when the news is no longer free from bias? What happens when the news is no longer reliable and independent? What happens when the news is no longer trustworthy? What happens when the news simply becomes an extension or arm of a political party? Does fact become fiction? Fiction become fact? When does news become propaganda? Identity creation? How does the average person who is under constant financial stress by design find time to research and discern fact from fiction? The majority of people more prone to believe someone in power sitting behind a big brand new news name? Do people, human psyche in brackets, tend to follow the majority mainstream viewpoint in fear of being isolated and or shunned? Mainstream is used for a reason, to dominate trends and opinion. If the majority of people believe X, then X must be validated or true. Why do mainstream media heads within different organizations always use the same keywords and catchphrases? What is programming? Coordinated by who? Outside entity providing instructions? Clowns in America. Do they count on the fact that people, human psyche, are more prone to believing something if heard over and over and over again by different trusted sources? Do echo chamber tactics provide validation and credibility to the topic or point being discussed? Threat to intellectual freedom? Would control over or control of these institutions and organizations allow for the mass control of populations' viewpoints regarding a desired topic? Read again, digest, because this is all about programming the population to believe a certain viewpoint, rehashing and reiterating the same viewpoints through various organizations and institutions and media outlets. It is all about controlling the narrative to control what the population thinks. Q goes on, would control over of these institutions and organizations allow for mass control of population's viewpoint regarding a desired topic? Logical thinking. Why, after the election of 2016, did Dems and the media corporation start a coordinated and planned divisive blitz intended to create falsehoods regarding the illegitimacy of the election, character assassination of Trump through sexism, racism, and every other ism? Pre and post 2016 election, why were violent masked terror organizations such as Antifa immediately created and funded? Why were these organizations tasked with immediate intimidation, shutdown of any pro-Trump rallies and or events? Why were marches immediately organized to counter and silence pro-Trump rallies and events? Why were marches immediately organized which divided people into gender, race, sex, or and other isms? When you control the levers of news dissemination, you control the narrative. Control of the narrative equals power. When you are blind, what do you see? They want you divided, divided by religion, divided by sex, divided by political affiliation, divided by class. When you are divided and angry and controlled, you target those who are different from you, not those who are responsible, the controllers in brackets. Divided, you are weak. Divided, you pose no threat to their control. When non-dogmatic information becomes free and transparent, it becomes a threat to those who attempt to control the narrative and or the stable, in brackets, livestock kept as sheep. Q has previously said they openly call us sheep. When you are awake, you stand on the outside of the stable, the groupthink collective, and you have free thought. Free thought is a philosophical viewpoint which holds that positions regarding truth should be formed on the basis of logic, reason, and empiricism, rather than authority, tradition, revelation, or dogma. This represents a clear and present danger to the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America. That, my friends, gets us caught up to Q. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this out on social media. If this video has helped you, you might want to subscribe to my channel. And if you need Christmas gifts, you might want to check out some of my books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other book outlets. Keep Denise and I in prayer. Your prayers are making a huge difference for us. Please keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep the president in prayer. I believe the president is in a rally tonight in Michigan, I think, Battle Creek, Michigan. So you might want to either check out the rally tonight or check out Attorney General Barr's interview. Love you all. Take care. I will catch you on the next broadcast.